Where we sit matters to us, right? I've always had basically the same seat when I was a student in a classroom, and in church, when I'm sitting in the pews, that's even more true. I like to sit right about there where Kathy Hayfield is, right about there on that side. And in part because that gives me enough people, like if I'm visiting a church, right, I'm in a new place, gives me enough people to see how they're going to come up for communion so that I don't trip up and get all lost. Now, if you're here for the first time today, you don't need to worry about that because we're such a welcoming church that however you get up here is fine and we're here to help. Have you ever visited a church and you sat where you wanted to sit? And someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, you're in my seat." Let's see some hands. How many is that? Look at all the hands. Look at that. This happens more than we might imagine. I've heard people have told me over the years, I was away on vacation, I went to this church, I sat down, and someone came and told me to move. It was their seat. So I hope that if you come to church here one day and see somebody you don't know, somebody new, sitting in your seat, you will say to them, "Thank God you're here." Thank God you're here and sitting in my seat. Welcome. Right? Because you know that person's going to be an angel. You know that person is going to be someone new in our midst who's going to bring all sorts of grace into our lives through who they are. This is what I love about the church. Love, love, love how we continue to change and grow and new people bring themselves and all that God has created them to be, and we all learn and benefit and share the energy of God with each other. Today's readings consider these matters, how we offer hospitalities, how we see the stranger, how we welcome people to places of honor in our lives, and how God welcomes us to a place of honor. How do we offer hospitality? How are we called to view our place in this world? Always remembering that Jesus turned the world upside down and changed what it meant to be valued. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is the one we read this morning from Hebrews. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." There are many places in Scripture where people are surprised by what they decided later were definitely angels. In connection to showing hospitality, we think of Abraham and Sarah, who showed hospitality to three strangers who turned out to be angels, messengers from God, who told Sarah that she would have a son, even though she was quite advanced in years, and she laughed. Hospitality can be the occasion for a new revelation as strangers become friends. When we show hospitality to others, we become angels for them. Hospitality is one of the ways that the Spirit is made known among us, often, as I've described, in a powerful way, both for the one being welcomed and the one welcoming. In his book, Reaching Out, Henry Nouwen states, "Hospitality means primarily the creation of free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. It is not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom not disturbed by dividing lines." Given all of the divisions in our world, in our nation today, I find that to be a beautiful, beautiful definition of hospitality, providing free space where divisions do not limit, but people can grow together. Every time that Jesus offered hospitality, he shared himself. And when he was offered hospitality, he shared himself, his message, in ways that surprised and challenged, educated, comforted. Consider our gospel account for today. Jesus is shown hospitality by a Pharisee, a leader in society, who invites Jesus to have a meal at his home. Would this Pharisee have invited Jesus had he known what was going to happen? This comes up all the time with Jesus, right? People think, oh, there's Jesus, come on over. And then he gets there, and it's not so easy. Inviting Jesus into our homes and into our hearts is also at some level about inviting the unknown into our lives. It's always unknown with God. Knowing that God loves us and it enables us to be who we are and know that it's all going to work out in the end, but getting there, sometimes God has to bring us along, surprise us, challenge us. It is said that if God hates all the same people you hate, you've made God in your own image, right? And we could also say if God believes all the same things we believe, we've made God in our own image. God will never be domesticated. God will surprise us. We may even be surprised to find God right in the middle of our lives when things are difficult. We may be surprised to find God, the Spirit, Jesus, right in the middle of our lives when things are good. Jesus was always surprising those around him, and on that night, he surprised people by doing another healing on the Sabbath. Those verses were actually omitted from our reading today. You'll see there's a break in the verses we read. I guess that's because we had a healing on the Sabbath last week. But it's important and makes sense that he does this healing before he offers wisdom about places of honor. It is significant that he heals on the Sabbath because this embodies the gift of the Sabbath and shows that freedom can come in ways that are not keeping with the norms of society. So much of what we strive for in life is about finding freedom, right? Security. But we can have all of the material things in life, all of the honors that life can offer, and still not be free or even feel free. And yet, through faith, the lens of faith, we know that God offers us freedom right now, today. So Jesus is addressing those who think that they have life all worked out. They know where to sit at this dinner based on social rank. Jesus is actually using a proverb here. He's quoting, not exactly, but quoting this proverb from verse 25, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." Jesus is teaching about hospitality in a way, and certainly humility. This is where we get that well-known saying, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." But doesn't this sound just a little bit like he's helping them work within the system, but in a smart way? But then he turns the key a bit more and unlocks that door, the door to true freedom. To the host, Jesus says, and to all of us, "Do not invite your friends or relatives who can pay you back or grant you favors, but invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Showing hospitality to others is a gift to them, but what do we experience when we're helping, when we're offering food through our food pantry, when we're preparing a meal for the veterans ministry, when we're doing all of these things? We feel blessed, don't we? It happens every time. We're participating in God's reign on earth, making it visible, and claiming that reality as the most important and the most real. God's reign, God's way. When we claim that, we are blessed now, participating in the resurrection of the righteous right now. We've come to church today to claim the promises of God, to walk in love, to walk in love with Jesus. We come to church not because this is such a place of honor anymore, not to be seen or admired by others. In fact, from time to time in my years of ministry, people have told me that they're seen as odd by their peers because they come to church, go to a church. Some have said they don't fit in as well with their same peer group. And it's not that those people were engaged in anything terrible. They just don't fit in as well. I would say the days are almost gone, probably not completely gone, but almost gone, when people attend church in order to make business connections or because their place in society made it necessary to attend church. Those days are gone, and we're better for it. This reminds me of a story I've told some of you before that I learned from a Russian history professor at UVA, a true story that he heard when he was living in Russia doing research, probably in the 1960s, when religion could not be practiced publicly anywhere in the world, and certainly true in Russia, Christians would meet in secret. There was a group meeting in a cave-like structure. Soldiers found them, come into the cave with their rifles, their guns, probably automatic weapons. There's no way out for these people in the cave. And the soldiers say, "We're here for the true Christians. The rest of you can go." And some left. Then the soldiers put down their guns and said, "We needed to know who was truly committed. We've come to join you." Talk about entertaining angels without knowing it. God has invited us. We, in various ways, are the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. God has invited us to the table of fellowship with God through Christ and the power of the Spirit. We know that we cannot repay all that God has given us. But through God's hospitality with us, we are inspired to strive for glory, to strive for the kingdom, strive to be those who welcome all strangers with great hospitality. To quote from Henry Nouwen again in this context, he states, "The great spiritual task facing me is to so fully trust that I belong to God and that I can be free in the world, free to speak even when my words are not received, free to act even when my actions are criticized, ridiculed, or considered useless. I am convinced that I will truly be able to love the world when I fully believe that I am loved beyond its boundaries." We are welcomed by God with great love and excitement to God's table, to God's meal, where every seat is the best, every seat the highest honor. Amen.